Hello and welcome again to Czech Books. For this week's programme, we're going to be talking about a slightly different book from the novels or poetry that we normally talk about. This is a book of interviews, but it's particularly intriguing because it's about a part of the Czech Republic that has gone through huge changes over the last 60 or 70 years. And I'm joined by two people who were very closely involved in this book. That's Matěj Spurný and Ondřej Matějka. First of all, Matěj, tell me a little bit about the book. Its title is Sudetské osudy in Czech, which I suppose could be translated as Sudeten stories.
These are dialogues with 17 people who mostly live in the Sudeten land or in the borderland of the Czech Republic today.
And this is a part of the country which, well, for many of our listeners, will have very strong historical echoes. When you think of the Sudetenland, it's the part of Czechoslovakia that did have a predominantly German-speaking population before the war.
The most Germans were expelled after the Second World War, and just few of them, mostly Germans who had Czech wives or vice versa, they could stay, or a few anti-fascists or some Germans who worked in a factory where they were needed. But these were just few thousands of people, and the first stories of this book are interviews with these people.
Just to give us an idea, I mean, we're talking about a huge area of this country, aren't we? And we're talking, when you say that the Germans were expelled, we're talking about the expulsion, literally, of millions of people, aren't we?
Yes, we are talking about the expulsion of 3 or 3.5 millions of people. And this is a third of the Czech Republic today in this region.
And how many Germans did actually stay? I mean, it's actually a myth, isn't it, that everybody left? In fact, quite a large German population remained, didn't they?
There remained about 300,000 Germans, but most of them left the country in the 60s. Today there are less than 50,000 Germans.
As you say, the first third of the book are interviews with people who lived in the Sudetenland before the war. Is this just Sudeten Germans, and is it Sudeten Germans who stayed or people who left?
There are three interviews with Sudeten Germans. One of them had to leave after the war as a child, and interesting is that he came back in the 90s, and today he lives in Sudetenland again. Then two interviews with German women who could stay, and then one interview with a Czech woman who lived in the Sudetenland before the war, because also thousands of Czech people lived there, and two women, one was Czech-German and the second one German-Jewish, so very interesting stories, actually, in this dramatic time.
Well, tell me a little bit about some of their stories, then.
The first story, the German man who had to leave, it's sort of a typical story of a Sudeten German, because millions of them had to leave the most to West Germany, and they built their life in the West Germany somehow. And the other people, the mixed families, it's also a huge theme in this area, because thousands of families were somehow mixed, Czech, Jewish, German origin, and in these years their lives were very dramatic and very complicated, so these are mostly not very happy stories.
Of these Germans who stayed, now that their children are grown up, they've probably got grown-up grandchildren, do they still speak German?
Mostly not, or maybe they speak, but it's just a foreign language for them. There are too little Germans today to keep the society somehow compact, and the communist regime looked after that. They couldn't live in one place.
So this is the first group of people who you interviewed in the book. Who are in the second and third groups?
That's, I think, even more interesting for the Czech society to read about what's in the second part of the book, because these are interviews with people, mostly Czech people, who came from the eastern countries at that time, from the Soviet Union or Romania. These were people who emigrated in Ukraine, Romania, and so on in the 18th or 19th century. And after the war, with this Slavic ideology, it was said it's good if these people come back. Some of them wanted also. And there was Sudetenland, which was quite empty after the expulsion of the Germans. So there are actually 200,000 people like that came to Sudetenland and to southern Slovakia also, some of them, after the Second World War in the years 45 to 48. And we spoke with these people. It's interesting because they were Czech. Most of them somehow spoke Czech or Slovak, but they grew up in a totally different society, culture. Most of them didn't know electricity and so on. And they came to Sudetenland and had somehow to live together there with the Czech people and with the few Germans who were still there.
And what about the third group that you interviewed?
Well, the third group is actually the largest group in today's Sudetenland. These are the Czechs, and most of Czechs interviewed in our book are people who came to Sudetenland directly after the Second World War. One or two are actually communists who came to build the new land with a lot of enthusiasm. And there are other people. There is one man who was actually a dissident who looked for some place where he can hide from the communists. So these are very different sides of the stories of Sudetenland.
I'd also like to ask you about a little bit about your own story, because you actually come from the Sudetenland, don't you? That's where you grew up.
Well, I was born in Prague, but as I was 3 years old, I went with my parents to Giant Mountains, which is in the north, northeast of Bohemia, so directly in this region. And certainly this was a very important motivation for me to ask some questions myself. What is the history of this country? Why there are so little people whose families lived here also before the war? And that was the way how I came to this theme.
When you were growing up in the 1980s in the mountains, I mean, were there still, and are there still today, fragments at least of the old world? I mean, it's very hard for somebody from outside to imagine what it's like to live in a place where 90% or maybe more than 90% of the population has just disappeared and been replaced. It's extraordinary to imagine it. It must be a strange place to grow up.
I think for the most people who live there, it's not a strange place. It's just a normal place where people live for years. But maybe if you are sensitive or if you look around a bit, then you feel there is something different, something strange. There were also a few people, one of them, my teacher, who is also interviewed in this book, a few people from mixed families or even German people.
This is your teacher from primary school?
That is my teacher from the primary school, who a bit later told me a lot about the history and about her family, which was living in Pets in this village since ages, actually.
This isn't the only book that you've produced about the border regions of the Czech Republic, which is so historically so interesting and so problematic. I'd like to ask you a little bit more about how your interest came about and what other projects you've been doing as part of your interest in the region. And for that, I'd like to turn to Ondřej Matějka.
Our biggest project until now was called, or is called, Das verschwundene Sudetenland, Zmizelé Sudety. We could translate it as a disappeared Sudetenland. Our point is that we just wanted to show that there is a big civilization. It's actually a disappeared civilization of Sudeten Germans, the civilization of hundreds and hundreds of years. After the war, this huge civilization, this culture, this whole culture disappeared.
The way that you bring that across in the book, Disappeared Sudetenland, is very, very powerful, where you place these photographs of what it looked like before and the same scene as it looks today. In some cases, I mean, you've got a whole village with a church and you can see the normal life of the village, and in the next photograph, as it looks today, there's nothing. There's literally just a field, isn't there?
It's very effective because you can, in a very simple way, just see that many, many villages disappeared, that the people disappeared, and that means that also the culture connected with the people living there has disappeared. For Czechs and for the Czech society, this kind of culture, of the German culture, is almost totally unknown. For the most of the Czechs, the Sudetenland, it's synonymous for a land which is somehow destroyed. And so we have tried to explore the rich history of this country and to show it to the Czechs. And not only because we should be nostalgic. our goal is to show that there are some traditions, maybe we could connect them, we could try to keep them alive and to use them for us.
I'd like to ask both of you about the association that you have founded called Anticomplex, which is exploring some of the issues that you've been talking about. I mean, up until the fall of communism, any discussion of this subject was pretty much taboo, wasn't it? Have you found it difficult to create the non-political foundation on which you can sort of build your research and your work? It must be quite difficult because it's a sensitive subject, isn't it?
It was rather difficult for us to find the right way how to discuss it, because in the beginning we were trying to discuss these topics in a rather political way, and I would say we weren't very successful. After 3 or 4 years, we have tried to find a new way, and this new way is a non-political one, showing what we have lost. We have seen that it works.
Mathieu, what sort of responses have you encountered in your work when you've been going around?
We can see that Czech society is changing, because still in the 90s, Sudeten question was a political, historical question, and speaking about this question meant a conflict, which today is not more the point. And since we brought to the world this exhibition, Disappeared Sudetenland, there were just a few negative reactions, but these are maybe 5% of people who come to our actions.
But the name of your association, Anticomplex, is slightly provocative, isn't it? It's implying that there is a prevailing complex on the Czech side about the history of the borderlands and the expulsion of the Germans.
Title of our association comes, of course, from the beginning of our association, from 1998. At that time, we were about 18, 19 years old, and it was sort of our fight time, or where we were very critical to the Czech society, and we had the theory, which I think is not false, that the problems we have with Germans and with speaking in a critical way about our own history also come from a small self-confidence, that we have some complex, that we are a small nation. There is this feeling that we shouldn't speak about our own mistakes in a critical way, because that makes us even weaker and smaller, and that's sort of a inferiority complex, and we want to fight against this complex, because we are a country and a society with a very rich history, and we don't have to think that we are just small and weak, but we also have to speak about our own mistakes, about the things which went wrong in our history. And we also have to show this German history of our land, because that's also a part of our culture. These cultures were connected.
And that edition of Czech Books brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio